was assigned to. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And of course, we look for the resurrection of the dead. And I think we'll speak on that next week. So this morning, the concentration is on the Holy Spirit and the Church. And, you know, I don't know what your image is of the Church. I think it can vary from week to week or year to year, whatever season you're in your life. This morning, I'm hoping it's not potluck dinners and, you know, space where we're going to move and, oh, the music was good this morning. I didn't want to pray. Let's just focus in. I just really want to focus. In fact, for me, I saw this space is for rent when I came in this morning. And I put my glasses on. I thought, what? Oh, really? And this space is for Lent. So, you know, that God is always kind of realigning us, bringing us into something deeper. And I want to put that emphasis this morning, but always keeping in mind the divine dimension of the Church. I mean, how could we even repeat this creed if it were not for the divine? So I've asked Cheryl, I don't have many slides, two slides, and that's because somebody else can say it a lot better than I can. And I don't want to mess it up. So Cheryl, slide number one. Cheryl's out of the room.
She went.
But Zoli can do it.
No.
Okay, well, I'll read it then. This is a quote from the book called For the Life of the World. And if you go to Regent, you probably have read this book, maybe you haven't. But it's the best for me. When I read this quote about the Holy Spirit and the Church, and I read it last fall, I just said, it just did something for me that took me one step closer to stop fretting about church and just knowing that the Holy Spirit is the Church. The Holy Spirit is the one who gathers the Church. So I just want to read it for you. The Holy Spirit confirms the whole life of the Church because He is that life. The manifestation of the Church as the world to come, as the joy and peace of the kingdom. As institution, teaching, ritual, the Church is indeed not only in this world, but also of this world, a part of it. It is the Holy Spirit whose coming is the inauguration, the manifestation of the ultimate of the last things, who transforms the Church in the sacrament of the kingdom, makes her like the presence in this world. Of the world to come. Wow. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Church. And this kind of definition, I think, kind of helps for us. And as we think about our image of the Church, whatever it is you have in your mind, and it's not difficult to come up with all kinds of unrealistic thinking, abstract thinking, historically unjust thinking. When I mention the word church to some of my friends, they're kind of shocked that I actually still go to church. I don't know if you've had those kinds of encounters. I get them lot, and I sort of say thank you Lord. I know who I am. I'm not going to defend your church, but through what all that the church has gone through. But the Holy Spirit is the one who keeps, he's the driver, When you want to know who's driving this place, the Holy Spirit. Tim's in charge, but he is, I believe, and very grateful, submitted to the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit that brings us today where we are and gives me an incredible sense of responsibility and admiration for those who have gone before me. Imagine I think I put on the web my little blurb about Cornelius and Peter. For me, that just kind of stuck in my mind this week, the beginning, really just the beginning of the working out. Like, Jesus left, he breathed on the disciples, he gave them this ministry. That's one thing, and if you've ever experienced that, it's just a wonderful thing when you have a sense of calling and purpose in your heart. But then you have to start walking it out. And that's where the rubber meets the road, for lack of a better word. And so here we have, and I'm not just talking about getting converts, because what I love about the story about Cornelius and Peter is that Cornelius was basically a believer. Like, he had the faith. And he was a righteous man, but the word says, and I'm not going to go into that word. My text this morning will really be from John 20, but I would encourage you to read Acts 10 and 11. This story of Cornelius and Peter, and the fact that impressed me was God spoke to Cornelius. In one context, you know, a Gentile. And this was God's sort of preparation to bringing the Gentiles into the church. Maybe that wasn't the visual plan for the Jewish group that had been gathering. By the way, the word church means called out once. They're just gathered, called out. The first church were a small group. That group grew. And why were they together? Because they were called out from God. So if you're here this morning and you say, well, you know, I'm here in this church. I don't really know if I belong to this church or if I, you know, maybe I do. I'm not really sure. I'm here sometimes. You are called out. If you are a believer in Christ, you are called out to be gathered in a place of worship, to identify with that place of worship, because that's God's plan for you. It's not our plan. We don't look to sign everybody up, although we probably should, but we don't aggressively seek you out to become a member. You are a member because of the Spirit of God that is has called you out. Maybe you don't recognize it this morning. I think when we had our prayer time, I think Tim wanted, and is continually encouraging us to continue to lay down this foundation of truth so that you can be empowered to know who you are as a believer and what God's purpose is for you. So Cornelius was a man of faith. He didn't really understand or maybe have the whole package. And when we are called out to minister to people, I think that the place where we really want to navigate is where people are at. And this is what I think throughout history we have seen with the putting together of this creed in the 4th century, bringing it forward to, you know, 2014. There's always this navigation of what do you believe, what do you believe, what, you know, what do you believe, coming around the table. And working it out. If you've ever been in a lot of meetings, I'm in a lot of meetings where I work, and we have some meetings in this church. Sometimes I get so tired. Can we work it out? Can we get there? But you know, it's a great learning process to sit and negotiate with someone and just wait and see where they're going. And I believe that Peter and Cornelius, well, it was demonstrated by God. I mean, Peter was over here, he was going in one direction, and God said, you know, I want you to get together with this Gentile. Well, I don't eat what he eats, you know, and all this stuff comes up, but it doesn't matter. He's a man of faith, and God had a plan in that, and you can continue to read that story, because it's a beautiful image, I think, of what I put together with the going forward with the creed, of how that's been through the centuries, trying to get in the center of what we believe and preserving it and the weight of that. So now we get to the words, my portion of the creed and what we believe. And when you take a small bite approach to breaking down this portion of scripture, we believe, it says, in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Now, I just want to just interject a little bit of my experience. I was actually brought up in the Catholic Church, and I always thought we were the true church, because that's what we were taught. You're Catholic, you're the right church, you're the true church. And the family that I was brought up in, especially my mother, my adopted mother, she had this disdain for Protestants. She came from a very small town where they actually had burnt down the Pentecostal church, and she was quite thrilled about that. And then the day I told her that I'd become a Pentecostal, well, you can imagine how wide that gap was for many years. Thank God that God again brought it all together. But there was this wide gap. Like, you don't do that. You do not step outside the true church. So I had a lot of baggage to get to the place where I left the Catholic Church and joined the Baptist Church, and of course I was rebaptized. And I'll talk a little bit about that again as we get to the acknowledge of one baptism. And then Tim will probably have to correct my theology after all that. But I stand open. I stand open. God will give you the truth this morning. But anyway, this whole idea that there is one church. There is one church. And as I was thinking about that, and I had the wonderful experience this fall, so I took a course at Regent on the sacraments, and you know, we were told to go to a church outside our own faith, and so our own church. And I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to go back to my little Catholic church in Marple. It was run by the sisters when I went there, and it's on West 73rd. And I thought, all I had in my mind was the sisters. Church every morning, communion, all this stuff. But I thought, I think I can go back and see how they're doing. And so I went back, and I was totally surprised. I was thinking, oh, probably a little building, all this. The place was packed. It was packed with families. And the word, they had three scripture readings, and you could read them. You know, they had the New Testament and the Old Testament there, and I had this incredible experience, because I thought, you know, my whole life I always thought about was that uniform, that brown and yellow uniform I used to wear. I couldn't wait to get off when I left the church, and or when I left school. But I had this image of, you know, and I loved the sisters. In fact, I thought, you know, maybe I'll be a nun. I went like the sisters. I didn't have a problem with them. I know some people do, but I didn't, because I was good. As long as you were good. I mean, and that's another thing. It was wonderful to revisit that, and I said, well, sure, now I can really say I believe in one Catholic church, one universal church. But I thank God for that experience, because I saw the pattern of my life in a way that morning. And, you know, I don't want to go into the whole drama of it, but I could see that even though I had always felt, well, was it a good thing to be Catholic or a bad thing to be Catholic? Now I'm Pentecostal, it's Baptist. What about that? What about that whole experience? You know, I just, as I went up to take communion that morning, and, you know, apparently we're not supposed to take communion anymore, you know, with the Catholics or something. There's something that they're kind of working on that, you know, you don't actually believe in the same thing, or it's a closed communion. And I thought, well, when did that happen? Like, when did it become a closed communion? So I struggled with this whole thing about going forward. And I thought, hey, I was in this church probably before anybody, so I'm going forward for communion, especially when I saw all the kids going forward, you know. I thought, whatever happened to first communion? I mean, it was just unbelievable. All the rules have gone. But anyway, as I went forward for communion, there was a youth group up in the loft, in the choir loft, and they were singing, and I had it written down, my hand has been on your life, your whole life. I thought, oh my God, that's, you know, I just said, Lord, it's amazing that I could start to really see that whole big picture of the church. Mm-hmm. And even the fact that I had been confirmed, I thought, what is confirmation? And like I started digging deeper, what is confirmation? It's a confirming of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Spirit on your life. And so the whole experience, I think, helped me to widen the scope. Not that I had a negative perception of the church, because after all, I worked in Quebec for 15 years ministering to Catholics who had a problem with seeing God. I mean, wanting a relationship with God, but all this religion sort of in the way, and yet wanting so badly to come to the knowledge and understanding of who God is. And, you know, God is faithful to that. God is faithful to that. If you're here this morning and you're struggling, as Tim, you know, started some ministry time, struggling, God hears you. You're in the right place this morning. You're in the right place. If you're struggling with your identity, whatever that looks like, you're in the right place. We can handle it. Power of the Holy Spirit, we can handle it. We can handle it. Because I know that, you know, God wants to set you free. I am still being set free. Every year that goes by, I think, oh, can I take any more? And I think, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for the energy of the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit does. So one church. So what I've really taken from this whole idea of one church, the church cannot be anything but one. As God is one, as truth is one, as love is one. I remember, Tim, I think one of the best sermons in this creed was the Trinity. Because you can't explain the Trinity, and yet you did, in a way, you know, and it's good enough for me anyway. And then you did bring it out. You brought it out. And as, you know, Catholics growing up, the Trinity is a no-brainer. You don't ask about it. You are very, very young. It's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You don't think about it. You don't question it. It just is. And so for my whole life, I've never really had to struggle with the Trinity. I was indoctrinated very young. But then when, you know, to explain it and when you started to unpack it, I felt like, wow, well, there's a whole lot more to the Trinity if you really want to go there. If you really want to go there, you can get all mixed up. In fact, as I was preparing for this message, there's so many diagrams and there's this mathematics about how it can be. But praise God, God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we believe that. Mm. And we believe in the holiness of God. What does that word mean? Are you afraid of the word holy? I get afraid of the word holy. I do sometimes. I remember when I came into the Baptist church and then I felt this calling into ministry. I thought, I don't want to look holy. I don't want to, but I don't want to come across as holy. I just want to be with God. I want to be. But, you know, this word holy means set apart. We're set apart and called out to be different. We are different. Let's face it. Who goes to church on Sunday morning anymore? You know, it's snowing. It's like, especially last Sunday. We're here because we're called out. There's a purpose. And maybe we're not completely aware of what that purpose is. Every step of the way. I mean, the Lord knows how many times my purpose has been so out of whack. And yet God continues, as we seek, as you come into this place, as you gather with others, as you gather during the week, God starts by the divine power to strengthen and build vision and purpose into your life. And that's what the church is about. You know, I mean, the other thing, and I had this quote where it says, you know, we're not without flaw or imperfection, we're called holy, and in the church, we're a mixed bag of wheat and tares, good, bad, indifferent, and we're not invisible. Church is not invisible, the church is visible. So, it, you know, we're all together in this, and it's not up to me or Tim or any of you, because you belong here, we've already established that, to say, watch out for that or watch out for this. Let God redeem us. And I remember, you used to have some of my English friends, you know, come to Quebec and be ministering in different contexts. And there was, you know, some things they saw that hadn't been regenerated enough, you know, or maybe wasn't English enough. I'm not really sure. But I used to say to them, you know, it's not our place. It's not up to me. They're coming into church on Sunday morning, or they're coming into the conferences, they're coming to Christ, and there's incredible movement of God in that hunger, in that hunger. And so let's be generous with each other. Let's be really generous. Let's be graceful. Let's extend grace to one another. And I hope, you know, you'll extend grace to me if I ever offended you or said something that wasn't very nice or whatever it is. I just say thank you, Lord, for all that you've brought me through, for all that you've brought this church through over the years. We're still here. Tim, you're not moving yet back. You know, we've got big plans ahead. And so this creed couldn't have come at a better time. Because we are always, if you're like me, you're always being confronted with who you are in Christ, whether it's someone who believes half of what you believe or someone who believes all of what you believe. And that's good, but it's good for unity. It's the, you know, it can sometimes be boring, but we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. We believe in one church. We believe that word Catholic, it's interesting. I mean, if you go back, you know, unfortunately the Roman Catholic Church kind of took it so far off, I guess, to the left or the right, whatever. Last Glenn, he's very big on politics. Anyway, we've lost the true meaning of that word, which is, you know, it all goes back to the common remedy for diseases. A common fish, a fish that swims in all the waters. I mean, I did some word studies, and it's a term to used in the creed to distinguish our authenticity. Thank God for that. And then we're apostolic. And I know for Tony and Judy and some other people in the church, are we apostolic? Yes, we are. Are we apostles? Yes, we are. We are. Why? Because we're still carrying the faith of the apostles. Let me be very simple about it. I believe in the fivefold ministry, but I'm not going to go there this morning. I want everybody to be included. You are an apostle if you've come this far, living out the claims and the mission of the apostles. You are an apostle. Now, how you want to define that role, if you, you know, I could go on and on about it, but you are here affirming with us the claims of the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit to move His church forward. We're here after all this time. I think there's a song or something to that effect. Anyway, I want to move on quickly to just one more thing in the creed that we acknowledge one baptism and the forgiveness of sins. Now, nothing like baptism to divide the church. Baptism can be a divide. Were you sprinkled? Were you immersed? Were you, whatever it was, submersion, immersion, effusion, whatever it was it of the water and the Spirit? How much water was there or not? Now, I was baptized as an infant, but naturally, when I came into that real deeper knowledge of what it meant to be saved, I was in a Baptist church. I went to the Baptist church, and I kind of, you know, think I could have figured it out a lot earlier as I was reading Alexander Schimmelman's book. One of the first things he said about original sin, now Catholics are very big on original sin, you're born with it. That's it. You are born with it. You are in it. You are a sinner. And he writes, you know, I recognize the weight of the words original sin carried through my Catholic childhood could have been lifted had I understood or read this book. And this is what he says, that sin is not primarily that man has disobeyed God, man or woman. The sin is that he ceased to be hungry for God. And he ceased to see his whole life depending on the world as a sacrament of communion with God. I thought, you know, I just took a really deep, long breath, and I went for a walk after I read that. I thought, God, I've been seeking you my whole life, so I guess, you know, I'm free from sin. It's a wonderful thing. Now, it's more complex. It's not as complex as that, but for me, I guess it was having that Catholic baggage. But the wonderful thing is, if you have come to Christ If you have confessed him as Lord, you are free from sin. You are free this morning. You are free. You may struggle. You are human. You are not divine. You're not there yet. You're not divine. You're not in that divine place. So I think this morning we can be grateful to God for this freedom, of this forgiveness of sins. It's so simple, yet it's one thing that can bind us almost our whole life. This struggle. Be free from it this morning. Take that freedom. So where is this all going to go? Because I'm going to wrap up. I want to bring us to two places. And don't forget, baptism is totally essential. Whether you were baptized as a baby or you want to be baptized again, I mean, I don't really think that you need to be re-baptized. I kind of figured that out. You can talk to Tim about that. I spent 20 years believing that I needed to be re-baptized, and I have to say I was. So I was baptized twice. But as you move along, know that that is the initial. If you haven't been baptized, and I'm sure we're going to have a baptism soon, that is your real union with Christ. Really, that public affirmation. I belong to him. And so I would encourage you, if you're struggling about the issue of baptism, come and talk to me or to Tim or to anybody else in your Oikos group. You might want to talk about it. I've known Christians who have not become baptized for whatever reason, and there's been struggle, there's been confusion, and I've always said, you know, consider baptism. I'm sure that you're going to have that encounter with God that will bring you into a deeper experience. That's all I want to say about that, but what is our focus going to be this morning? Well, there's a little bit more that I want to bring us into before we end this morning. And that's in the prayer of Jesus, John 20 to 25. You know, Jesus was, keep going back to John, because that's really been some of the basis of this series. But you know, Jesus resolved to finish his work. And he asked the Lord to have his glory, the glory that he had with the Father, that would be shared through those who had come to know him. And sometimes I think that we are afraid of that word glory in John. You know, what is glory? Well, I'll tell you, one of the things about glory is it's everywhere in the Word. It's in Isaiah. We were created for his glory. We are a source of glory to God. When we believe in Christ, Romans 15 says, you know, if we receive this glory, the glory goes to God. When we arise stronger than our circumstances, glory comes forth. The Father is glorified when we bear fruit. And I believe that God is calling us into that. This series has been such a great series. We've kind of stepped back and we've gone deeper. We felt that we were going to go that way when we came back here, and we have. I'm happy to say we have. I've seen it in your lives. Seen it in my life, spiritual transformation. That's what we want, because as we, and if you can flash up the last slide, Cheryl,
yep,
that would be great. As we continue to move forward as a church, God is calling us to engage in spiritual transformation. As we are transformed, we will be effective. I don't think it's about the doing. I know we do the doing, and we want to do the doing, and we've got lots to do. But thankfully, on Sunday morning and through the week, we can take this time to be the being. And I found that this quote, and I don't ever really quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but I thought this was kind of good for where we're at as a church. The more genuine and the deeper our community becomes, the more will everything else between us recede, and the more clearly and purely will Jesus Christ and his work become the one and only thing that is vital between us. We have one another only through Christ, but through Christ we do have one another wholly and for all eternity.
Wow.
I believe that God is leading us in this transformation, that we don't have to keep striving. I don't think we have been striving in this series. I mean, we've been struggling and we've been doing all kinds of other things behind the scenes and wondering where we're going in that. But I believe that we are being called into a deeper place. I want to be in a deeper place. I know that you want to be in a deeper place. You know what? The Holy Spirit is calling us to that deeper place. So just stand with me. I want to do one more thing, and then I'm going to turn the service over to Tim. But so it's called Our Right Names, and it's a prayer. You, God, toward whom we pray and about whom we sing and from whom we claim our very life, in your presence, in our seasons of ache and yearning and honesty, we know our right names. In your presence, we know ourselves to be aliens and strangers. We gasp in recognition, taken by this surprise at this disclosure, because we had nearly settled in and taken up residence in the wrong place. For all of that, we turn out to be we strangers, unfamiliar with your covenant, remote from your people, at odds too much with sisters and brothers. But it is in your presence that we come face to face with our beset, beleaguered existence in the world. But, you are the one who, by your odd power, calls us by new names that we can receive only from you and relish only in your company. You call us now citizens with all the rights and privileges and responsibilities pertaining to life in your commonwealth. You call us now saints, not because we are good or gentle or perfect, but because you have spotted us and marked us and claimed us for yourself and your purposes. You call us members, and we dare to imagine that we belong, and they finally come home. So with daring and freedom this morning, with daring and freedom, we come. We move from our own old names known too well to the new names you speak over us. And in the very utterance, we are transformed. We look past ourselves and past our sisters and brothers here present, and we see so many other siblings broken, estranged, consumed in rage and shame and loneliness. And we bid powerfully that you name afresh all your creatures this day. We pray for nothing more and nothing less than your name for us all, restored, new, heaven and earth. And we will take our names with us when we leave this place, citizen, saint, member, even as we take us with us the odd name of Jesus. And that was a prayer that he wrote from the book of Ephesians, which is all about the church. So, Father, I just release this image of your church over this place, Lord, that it would be renewed, restored if necessary, that identity would be solidified this morning, that sense of identity. Who am I? Why am I here? Why am I in this place? Holy Spirit, continue, I pray, to do your work in us. In Jesus' name, we pray.